It was his husband and wife. And like every Sunday morning, the husband and wife, well, they got up and they got ready for church. And this Sunday morning, the wife, like she had done for so many years, well, she got up and she prepared the children. She got her clothes ironed. She made herself presentable to go to church. And it was 10 minutes till it was time to leave, and she was thinking, I haven't seen husband for a while. I wonder where he is. And so she goes looking, and she finds husband in bed reading the newspaper. And she says, husband, we've got to go to church in 10 minutes. What are you doing? And husband says, I'm not going to church today. And the wife was a little bit taken back, and she said, do you have any reasons why you don't want to go to church today? And husband says, I've got three good reasons why I don't want to go to church today. One, it's hot in that building. Two, no one likes me. And three, I just don't want to go. Oh, and the wife was a little bit disturbed. And she thought for a moment. And she very wisely, as wives do, answered. She said, one, the building is now air-conditioned, so it's not too hot. Two, I'm sure there's one or two people there that do like you. And thirdly, Leanne said, Paul, get out of bed. You're the pastor. You're preaching today. And I tell you that joke because it's funny and because it's taken a little bit for me to come here today. Because today we're going to talk about something that's probably a little bit personal. And we're going to go on a journey together. And in this journey, I'm asking you to be tolerant, to be patient. But most of all, as we go through today, I'm going to propose a question to you. And this question, I want you to honestly answer to yourself. So let's get into it. So I've entitled today's sermon, Cracks, Scratches, Scars and Tattoos. And the question I want to propose to you today is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Because all of us have got cracks, all of us have got scratches, all of us have got some scars, and some have got some tattoos. And it tells the story of your life through the good and the bad. And I've mentioned tattoos, and I'm not trying to romanticise tattoos, it's just part of the story today. So let's get into it. I can't show you, but I've got two scars on my feet here. These scars were where they had injected a dye into my veins to go up through my body to see how far my Hodgkin's disease, a form of cancer, had spread. Those two scars led to this scar on my knee because when I had the procedure, I had to have stitches and I sat in the wheelchair and I had to be moved from a ward to a ward. And this young nurse came along to push me from one ward to the other. And she said, do you want to go fast? What do you say when a pretty young nurse says, do you want to go fast? Of course I want to go fast. So she's pushing me. In fact, she's running. And we're on this beautiful, smooth concrete. And then we hit the bitumen. And the wheelchair stopped. And I continued. And it ripped out all my stitches, all my IV, and gave me the scar on the knee. This scar, this burn scar that I have on my calf, well, that's from where I was on my motorbike, and I hit a single-strand electric fence. I came off and the bike landed on me and burnt into my leg. Well, this scar on my elbow, well, it's from one of my sisters. I won't tell you which one, but it wasn't Sue. unprovoked, attacked me with a broken tile. Well, this scar here is where I fell on my wakeboard when I was training. And the board hit me in the head and I had to have 7 stitches and a concussion. Well, this scar here, this scar on my neck from where I had the lymph removed, my Hodgkin's disease, and then had the subsequent radium treatment. If you look at my jaw, it's all off kilter now because of the treatment. It's not really funny. This scar here is from... I'm trying to think of something smart to say, but I've got nothing. This scar here is from when I had an eyebrow ring. And you may say, what's an eyebrow ring? Well, it's where you have an earring in your eyebrow. I got home and I said to my wife, Ken's got an eyebrow ring. I should get one of those. It's so cool. And Leanne just laughed at me. And she said, it's a hollow needle. I think, hollow needle? You could never get one of those. Men, what do we do when our wives say we won't do something? We have to do it, I know. So we're going away on 2 weeks' holiday, so I'll go to the place Friday afternoon after work. I'll get it done to show her, and then I'll just pull it out after holidays. So I went along to this place. I said, I just want an eyebrow ring, and she did it, and Liam was right. It hurt like a... I actually would say to you, it's one of the most painful things I've ever done. But I got home and I said, look what I did, Leanne. And she said, you're an idiot. What makes it worse is the next day I had to drive to Canberra because we were going to the snow. And at that time I had a ute with lowered suspension. So I drove for 12 hours. And my whole eye was drooping down by the time I got there. But I showed Leanne. Now I know what you're thinking. The men are going, that's damn right, Paul, you showed her. And all the women are going, what an idiot. So, this tattoo was my first tattoo. And it's a Chinese symbol to win. And I got that done when I was in Cairns. And it was at a time in my life where Leanne and I had just come out of a really bad business and lost all our money. But I wanted to win back. This tattoo here is the word integrity with the cross as the T. Because for me, Christianity hangs on the balance of the integrity of the cross. And I got that design and we were going to Hawaii. And there was a hero of mine by the name of Corey Hart. Corey Hart was the first man to land a backflip on a motorbike. If you don't know him from that, you'll know he's the man who's married to Pink, the singer. And he's got a tattoo shop in Hawaii. So I wanted to go there and so I could say, I got a tattoo from Corey Hart. So I went to the shop and I showed my design and he said, that'll be $500. Ooh, I said. So I did what any good tourist will do. I bought a t-shirt for $60, went down the road, got it done for $90, and tell everyone I got it done at the Corey Hart studio. The next tattoo, which will be up on the screen, well, that's the one that's on my shoulder here. And I got that at a time when I was riding, as some of you know, in God Squad, where we were going to outlaw motorcycle clubs. And these men in there would have tattoos all over their body, and it would tell the story of their life. And I love this story because you can see the web at the bottom. Well, the web represents the deceit of the world. And then we've got the cross with all the flowers around the cross. And the flowers represent the beauty of the cross. And then we go into the sun. Well, that's the new hope that we've found in Jesus Christ. That was my story. Now, if we went around the room this morning, I'm sure there'd be lots of laughter. But I reckon there'd be lots of tears. As we talked about your scratches, as we talked about your dents, as we talked about your scars. Because, and I'm sure some of you are sitting here this morning and you're just looking, you're reflecting, you're thinking about the scars on your body. Because I can tell you about some of the times in your life that were really difficult. And they might talk to you about some times now that are really difficult. And can I tell you that over the last 18 months that I've been in this church, I've walked with a lot of you during those tough times. And it's left me with dents and scars, but it's left me so inspired as I've walked with you. Your scratches, your dents, your scars, and maybe your tattoos, will they tell the story of your life on the physical canvas of your body? My beautiful young friend Ashley now is going to read the Bible verse for us. I'm now not the prettiest on stage. Okay. It'll be wrong. Yep.
Try now. Jesus appears to Thomas, John 20:24-29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here." He said, "See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are the ones who have not seen me and yet have believed."
Thanks, Ashley. That was great. I love Thomas because sometimes I can relate to Thomas. Because Thomas did not believe or trust God until he had seen the scars himself. And I pose this question to you this morning. If Jesus was so allegedly perfect, why did he come back with scars? Or maybe a more pertinent question this morning is, if Jesus loves me so much, where is he? Why does he leave me with these scars? Which leads me to my question again this morning that I want to challenge you with, and I want you to really think, do I trust God? Because being a Christian is not all hallelujah, praise be to Jesus, dancing. Being a Christian, it's tough. Being a Christian when I found God doesn't mean all of a sudden that my life is peachy, that my family's perfect, I have all the money I need, everything's fantastic. Life's just peachy. No, I'm not buying that. Because to be a real, genuine Jesus follower, well, it wears on your soul. To be a real Christ follower is relentless. It will wear on your soul and it leaves you with both physical and mental scars. I mean, we've just read about the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, the Chosen One, and life left him with scars. No matter what you're going through in life, life always boils down to one question. Do I trust God? And I don't want to simplify a storm that you might be in right now. But life boils down to the question, do I trust God? Because sometimes life gets in the way of our plans, doesn't it? Life gets in the way of what we want to achieve. Life gets in the way of our goals. Life gets in the way of what we want to have. And sometimes life is just not fair. Life sometimes is just not fair. And I don't have an answer for you in those times when it's not fair. But I have a question. And my question is, do you trust God? And I mean really in the pit of your stomach, the way you live your life, do you trust God? Because as Jesus would attest to trust in God leaves scars. When the doctor comes in and the news is bad, do I trust God? When there's not much food in the cupboard and lots of bills, do I trust God? When the one who says, "I do," says, "I don't know more," and what's worse, they now say, "I do" with someone else, do you trust God? When that dream job that was going to be there forever, the dream job, the job you'd dreamed about having is no more. Do you trust God? When the realization that friends can be fake and that enemies are real, do you trust God? When trying to have that family so hard, do you trust God? The question we're asking this morning is, do you trust God? And it leads me to one of the most beautiful passages I know of in the Bible, and it's in Job. And we all know the story of Job. Job had everything dear to him taken away. Everything that he was, everything that he loved was taken away. And he suffered more than any other man. And yet in the midst of his most difficult times, in his most exasperated state, in a state of despair, Job says, in 13:15, he just says, "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face." Job is saying that no matter what happens, no matter what life throws at me, I will not lose my faith in God. I will always trust God. When I'm alone, when I'm broke, when I'm suffering, I will trust God. The devil took everything from Job. Everything. But the one thing the devil could not take is Job's faith. He could not take Job's trust in God. And Job's trust in God left him with scars. But he never lost his faith. You might not have known Job. You might not even have read all of Job. But one day you'll walk in Job's shoes. You don't know Thomas. You may have read about Thomas. But one day you will doubt. One day you will walk in Thomas's shoes. One day we will all walk in Job and Thomas's shoes. At some moment in life, you will be hit with the unexpected, and you'll find yourself at the feet of the cross, prostrated, screaming to Jesus, "Why?" So after all that, do I have an answer for you? And I do this morning. I want to read to you the answer in the Bible. It came from a very good friend of mine this week, Isaiah 12:2. I want to read this to you. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, he is my strength. He is my defense. He has become my salvation." Can I read that to you again? "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, he is my strength. He is my defense. He has become my salvation." The answer is those three little words. I trust God. I trust God. The scars on the body of Jesus are reminders that Jesus conquered death, that we serve a God who can take care of any issue in your life. When you see the scars of Christ, you know you can trust. Those three little words, I trust God. Well, they can take you through anything in life. So it's not a miracle cure and there's going to be scars. But as Job says, I will trust in the Lord until the day I die. Some of you sitting here this morning, well, you can relate to Thomas because you've got a hard time believing what you can't physically see with your own eyes. And for that reason, you may have put off trusting in Jesus. I mean, Jesus' claims are amazing. They're ridiculous. What the Bible says about Jesus is hard for any man to comprehend. So I would encourage you to delay no longer. Look to Jesus and believe in the testimony of Jesus' word. Believe in the testimony of the people that were there. Believe in the testimony of the people in this building. You can believe in God and you can trust in him. Others in the room this morning, well, you've had your lives shaken by disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You're disillusioned and you think that the claims of Jesus are too good to be true. But I can tell you that what makes the claims of Jesus so good is that they are true. Jesus can do for you what he has promised. He can save your soul. He can forgive you of your sins. He can make you a child of God, free from bondage and sin. You just have to come to him and trust. You can trust in him. Also in here today, there's some of you that, as I've been speaking, I'd envisage you being just gently rubbing that scar of yours. Maybe on the outside of the body or maybe even on the inside of the body. And it's a massive scar. And even though it's healing, it still hurts. It still hurts. Maybe a time in life when you were sick. And I don't mean man flu sick. I mean chemotherapy sick. I mean you were really sick at a time in your life. Maybe there was a time in your life where you're alone. Not go to the movies on your own alone. I mean alone. Desperate for something. Alone. But you're reminded that in that time that God came through for you. That in the midst of all the pain, all the hurt, that God came through and he proved to you that he's worthy to be trusted. Some of you here today are in the midst of a current storm. And I don't mean just a little sun shower. I mean you're in the midst of a hurricane. And that hurricane is throwing you around like a rag doll. And you're reaching and you're desperately trying to grab onto anything. Grab onto God. You can trust him. Trust God. Job says these words, "Even if he slays me, I am going to trust him. If the Lord calls me home to glory today, I'm going to trust him. If today is my last, I will trust him. I will trust God to watch over my family. I will trust God to continue the work that he's been doing with me." But those three little words, "I trust God." Because those words, my friends, "I trust God." Well, they're going to bring through the darkest of darkest days. Those words, "I trust God," will allow you to look at a diagnosis. They allow you to look at a forecast. They allow you to look at trouble. And they allow you to have a peace that when you know you've done everything that you can now leave it to God and you know that you can trust him. Can I tell you that God is with you in the darkest hours? When you are drowning in the darkness, that he hears every cry that you scream out. And when you pour your heart out, when you are at your worst, he still loves you. And it's for that reason that every day I thank God for every scratch, scar, dent and tattoo on this old body of mine. I just wonder this morning, as I've been standing here, I just wonder that how many of you made that declaration this morning as I've been speaking? How many of you have said, "I trust God. I will trust God. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It hurts. It's going to leave scars. And I know that, and it kills me up here standing here saying this to you." But those three words, if we've made that declaration today, "I trust God. I trust God." Would you join with me in prayer this morning as we give this to God, that we trust God? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in humble prayer this morning. And we make this declaration, "I will trust God. I will trust God." I make this declaration this morning that I trust you until I die. God, I'm learning to trust you. And right now, that thing that I'm going through, I'm making the declaration that I will trust you. I will trust you with everything. God, give me strength to live through this next season. And I declare this to you this morning, God, I trust God. The musicians are going to come up onto the stage now and sing the last song, as we do every week. This morning, if you would like prayer for something in your life at the moment, if you'd like to come down, I'll be here and there's some elders here, and we will pray for you this morning in this issue that you have. And if it's just a declaration, "I trust God," I'd ask you to come down the front. Thank you, Rochelle.